Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And Cherie is here with us today, and she is bringing a memoir called How to Be a Good Creature, and it looks like it's a memoir divided up into how many animals?
13 animals in 10 chapters. So I was attracted to this book because I've always been interested in people's lives, and it intrigued me that someone was telling their life story through animals. When I got the book, I started reading and was immediately sucked in. This author has written a lot of books and started out writing journalism, I believe, before discovering that her passion truly was not writing for a newspaper, but rather exploring and embracing the natural world and all its many wonders and writing about that. I had not read anything else by Cy Montgomery prior to this, but I would certainly consider picking up something else now.
Now, is she exclusively a nonfiction writer, or does she dabble in fiction sometimes?
I haven't done a big check on her work, but the things that she talks about in her book are all nonfiction, nature, animal books. That's her passion. And when I say that's her passion, I say that is her passion to the point that when two of her beloved early animals passed away, she considered suicide.
And she spotlights some pretty unusual animals, not just cats and dogs, right?
Oh, no cats at all.
Okay.
But she does spotlight several dogs, but she also has a pink-toed tarantula named Clarabelle, who's taught her some things.
Aww.
An ermine, a tiny, small weasel who killed a couple of their hens in wintertime, taught her something about life. There's a pig. So there are different animals who at different points in her life have spoken to her and taught her things. Oh, there's an octopus as well.
Oh, nice.
Very smart.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
So what were some of your favorite chapters in this book? Like, what were some of your favorite animals that she interacted with?
That's hard to say. I was interested to read the chapter on Octavia the octopus because I know exactly nothing about how to relate to an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
But after reading that chapter, I feel like I have a little bit of a clue. It talks about Octavia the octopus and motherhood comes into it. And her quote for what Octavia taught her is that the world is aflame with shades of brilliance we cannot fathom and is far more vibrant, far more holy than we could ever imagine. So each of her chapters where she discusses the animal, she talks about its place in her life, where she was when she encountered that animal, and at the end, something about what she learned, how her life was enriched through knowing that animal.
I really like the cover of this book, but is it, what attracted you to it in the first place? Was it the cover or the title or?
The title attracted me first because I found it in a pre-publication journal of upcoming books. The title.
A lot of us librarians get hooked.
Yes.
Yes, the title hooked me, and then the blurb that the reviewer wrote made it sound very intriguing, and so I reserved the book immediately. And I expect that this book is going to appeal to people who love James Herriot's dog stories. It's going to appeal to people who love stories of people and animals. She references influences of hers, Gorillas in the Mist, Diane Fossey's book, My Life with Chimpanzees by Jane Goodall. I read not those particular books, but that type of book, too, when I was a kid. I just didn't latch onto it as a life calling and make it my life's mission to figure out how to bond with every type of critter imaginable.
I'm seeing a little bit of a trend. The last book, I think, maybe not the last one, but the one before that you reviewed for us, was also about animals.
I've slept since then.
Didn't you go through, like, a horse book phase when you were a kid? I know a whole bunch of girls go through that.
Oh, horse books and dog books.
I went through Animorphs books.
Who was it? Who was it that wrote? Oh, Jim Kelgard, the big red Irish red. Show dog books, and of course Walter Farley, Black Stallion, etc.
Definitely a nature fan.
Yeah, a bit of a nature fan. But I will say I'm glad that I only had to meet Clarabelle the pink-toed tarantula through the book.
But they're so sweet.
Well, that's
I actually always wanted one of those. But.
Well, it's part of her point is that people aren't born with a fear of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
When you show little kids a spider, I mean, they're like, oh, let me touch that. But it's one of the fears that we develop socially very quickly.
Mm-hmm. My brother partially blames me for his arachnophobia, and he has a very real phobia of them.
Whereas I had a phobia, kind of, when I was a kid, and now I've grown out of it because I realize they eat the bugs I don't like even more, so now my house is full of spiders.
And they eat each other.
Well, I was never as afraid of spiders because we had cockroaches, and they were more real, more present, and more likely to interrupt my life than most spiders.
Mm-hmm. So how did she get to meet the octopus? Because I'm guessing it wasn't a pet of hers, right?
No. She has a mix of creatures who were her pets or her family's pets, and creatures that she met through the wild or through her research. How Cy met Octavia is that she was invited to the New England Aquarium to meet their octopus. She had been considering doing a magazine article for Octopus Intelligence that she wanted to try and develop into a book. So she first met an octopus named Athena, who passed away very shortly thereafter. But then she had the opportunity to meet Octavia, and Octavia became the octopus she ended up interacting with the most.
Mm-hmm. So we know that you like books about nature, and obviously people who do would probably like this book as well. But what other kinds of readers would enjoy this book?
Readers who enjoy going on a vacation without actually leaving home might get a kick out of this book, because some of these critters were not met in the continental U.S. They're met in other places. Readers who like reading about other people's lives, biographies. This book is short as memoirs go. It is just under 200 pages.
Oh.
And the way it's divided up, it's very easy to read in sections. So the first chapter is about Molly, the Scottish Terrier. The next chapter is about three emus named Bald Throat, Black Head, and Knackered Leg.
Knackered Leg.
Now, these emus clearly were not pets. These were emus in the wild, and the research group just called them Bald Throat, Black Head, and Knackered Leg. So people who like to read things in bits would have an easy time reading this book one section at a time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and get to our game show portion. I'll add in some animal wild noises. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and skip the casting, since this is pretty easily casted by any emus and Scottish Terriers you've seen in your life. And we're going to go to the rapid-fire questions. Leslie?
I'm going to go off script.
Okay.
Apologies in advance. Of the animals that are described, are there any of them in the book that you'd want to keep as a pet?
The dogs that she describes are challenging. They're Border Collies or a Scottish Terrier. So knowing that they're challenging dogs, maybe not.
What was the emotional tone of the book?
The emotional tone was a series of different bondings, I suppose. Cy Montgomery is talking you through how she related to and bonded to each of these different animals and types of animals.
Sure.
So the tone was emotional, but not usually over the top.
Okay.
What's one question you'd like to ask the author?
If you could meet any type of animal in the world that you haven't already met, what kind of critter would that be? Let me ask you a question.
Oh. We've never had this happen before.
When you hear the title, How to Be a Good Creature, a memoir in 13 animals, what's an animal you wish would be included?
Cats. I'm going to go ahead. I mean, cats
was... I'm going to say dolphin.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be good. And if you could go on any expedition anywhere in the world to learn about an ecosystem and learn about the critters in it, where would you choose to go?
Antarctica.
I've always wanted to go somewhere like Malaysia because they have amazing insects, but you know, that's my background. So
if you haven't already watched Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan, you need to.
So I have a question if we want to go out of order.
Sure, yeah.
What is a creature that's taught you something in your life?
I think that right now my cats are teaching me patience. They are aging and senility is creeping in. So they are teaching me how to not take them so personally.
So now we're going to go ahead and roll the dice and read a random line from How to Be a Good Creature.
A Scotty puppy is like a terrible 2-year-old tot on steroids and gifted with an almost unnatural indestructibility. So see like why I don't want a Scotty?
So like a 2-year-old.
Yes.
So they kind of say the same thing about boxer puppies.
Well, thank you so much for coming to talk to us about
How to Be Good Creatures.
About How to Be Good Creatures.
Thank you. I hope more people enjoyed this book.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.